2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
If, like me, you tend to do a lot of scrolling, then I'm sure that you have noticed the amount of content related to protein and maximising your intake. But why is there such an emphasis on protein at the moment? And what do you need to know about it? Joining me now to help me answer some of the questions that we all have around this area is registered dietitian Orla Walsh. Orla, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's absolutely no problem at all because you always bring so much information. I'm actually going to just tell people right now, 087-187-9200 or 51552. You can get your text in while Orla is in the hot seat so we can ask her live on air.
I thought you were giving out my phone number. I was like, oh dear.
I'm like, it's your personal number, not the clinic.
Chat to her afterwards. She loves a weekend chat about nutrition.
Of course she does. It's what everybody loves. Let's start with the basics first, Orla, right? Because what exactly is protein and why is it so important?
So there's macronutrients, there's carbohydrate, then there's protein, then there's fat. So to simplify it, write down, carbohydrate feeds the brain and it feeds movement. Fat is used for a whole host of things, including the production of hormones and making your skin nice and plump. And it's important kind of structurally in the body, like our eyeballs, our brain are made of fat. Protein feeds our muscles and bones. And these tissues are constantly breaking down, constantly rebuilding. They're renewing themselves. And that breaking down process speeds up after the age of 30, and we can lose a lot of muscle mass every decade unless we're feeding our muscles and bones protein and of course doing strength training too.
Why do you think that there are so many more products on our shelves these days that are promoting the protein content? Like, you can't even pick up a yogurt without it being like 15 grams of protein. You know, like everything is labeling exactly how much protein is in that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons. One is that research really showed that protein was important when trying to lose weight because it preserves, it makes sure that when you're losing weight, it's fat you're losing, not fat and muscle. And making sure you eat enough protein when you're on a weight loss diet is incredibly important. Yeah. It's also, it gives us satiety, makes us feel full and keeps us full. But most brands, you'll notice, they're claiming they have 20 grams. And the reason being, a few years ago, 20 grams of protein was shown to be enough to stimulate anyone's muscles to grow and repair at their max rate, regardless of what age they are. So generally, it's easier to stimulate a young person's muscles to grow and repair, while it's harder to stimulate an older person's muscles to grow and repair. But 20 grams seems to stimulate everyone's muscles to grow and repair. But what's more interesting is more recently, we see it's actually more, when it comes to muscle building alone, it's about how much protein you get per day.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter necessarily that 20 grams anymore, but it's still on all the products.
Okay. Because one thing you mentioned there as well, the very beginning, was that like when you go over the age of 30, that it's like a rapid decline almost.
Like 10% of your muscle mass per decade if you don't watch it, if you don't mind it. And that speeds up. So we can lose a hell of a lot. And people are so surprised that 30 is a cutoff. They're like, it's still young. Yeah. And I appreciate it is still young, but science is offensive and it says, no, you're aging, your body is aging.
So you do kind of have to be a little bit more on the ball. And
you do.
Yeah, leading up to it. But I suppose if you get into the habit of always having protein source in your, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, that going into your 30s you just kind of open a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just being mindful of it. But I think people are a bit obsessive about it.
Yeah.
You'll see things on Instagram and they'll have you, everyone has to hit 120 grams a day or 100 grams a day, regardless of what body size they are. And really, our protein requirements are all kind of dictated by really the size of our body and then our age. And of course, our goals to a point. If you were to kind of say, okay, give me a number, it's about 1 to 2 grams of protein per kilogram per day.
Yeah.
So most people, most women will need maybe 70 grams. Most men might need 90 grams or above. And it's okay to eat above that. And sometimes when people eat above that, they notice other benefits, like their energy is more stable and they're fuller for longer, etc.
So there's no like harm, I suppose, in overeating protein.
Yeah, but it's really hard to do because if you think about it, just say you come in and you're starving and you have toast. How many slices of toast could you possibly eat? If you're starving, I don't know if there is a limit.
No, there isn't.
But a slice of toast with butter on it has the same amount of calories as 3 eggs. So ask yourself, if I was starving, how many eggs could I eat? And there is a point where you're like, actually, it is self-limiting. I couldn't eat it till the cows come home like I could with the bread and butter. And it's just because protein is sort of self-limiting. Like, you go out to a restaurant, you get a massive steak, and it comes to the end of it and you're like, oh gosh, I couldn't possibly eat another white. But if you had a pasta meal, you'd be dipping the bread in the sauce, asking for tiramisu, bit of bruschetta. Like, it doesn't have the same satiety factor.
I suppose then as well, if you are adding a protein source into your meals, it just means that it is going to sustain you for longer.
Exactly. It takes maybe twice as long to be digested.
Yeah.
Now, every protein source is different. Mm-hmm. But if you have, for example, eggs at breakfast, it might take 4 to 7 hours to be digested. In other words, it sustains you to lunch, while some other, if you had bread and jam, it wouldn't. You know, by 10 o'clock, your blood sugar levels go low, your stomach is empty, your body's asking you for food. And of course, what do you have? You have tea and biscuits.
Of course you do. Because
of course you do.
It's a quick fix and you're like, here we go. We just got a text in here that says, hi, I've got quite a small stomach, so I generally prioritise protein, but it seems hard to consume and heavy. Any ideas there? You did mention about different protein sources.
Yeah, there's lots of different protein sources. So everyone kind of thinks, okay, meat, poultry, fish, but there are other sources like tofu, corn, dairy is a great source, eggs are a great source. So milk, yogurt, cheese. I think Greek yogurt became so popular because it contains twice as much protein that regular yogurt does.
Yeah.
While skyr or quark contains 3 times as much protein as regular protein. So I suppose it's just to know your sources and then kind of go with your tastes. Because if you're not, if you don't have the growl for certain things, you're not going to be able to eat much of it anyway, regardless of whether or not you feel it's heavy. So you can tailor it to your own needs.
Yeah, I did that with Greek yogurt and I can't look at it.
When I was 16, I overdid hummus and I'm only going back in a low.
Not the hummus.
I know,
so good.
I know, it is so good.
You talked about Instagram there a second ago about how you know, people will go and like try ram down your throat. You have to get 120 grams of protein in every day, blah, blah, blah. Like, is it because we're seeing it so much on social media? Like, it's all over Instagram, TikTok, like everything. It's become just a new kind of buzzword. Is that why it's got a huge part to play in how much interest we now have in the topic of protein?
Yes, absolutely. But I think the next big thing is fiber.
Okay.
So 80% of people don't eat enough fiber. So 80% of people are fiber deficient. And this is from a recent study. And the last study done before, over 10 years ago, shows the same thing. We have chronically been fiber deficient. And we know everyone's obsessed with the gut microbiome. And it's really weird that people aren't therefore obsessed about fiber, because that's what feeds our gut.
Okay.
So I think the next big thing is going to be fiber. And it's going to be, instead of eat your 100 grams of protein per day, it'll be eat your 30 grams of fiber per day. So I think that's everyone's next interest point, and that's where social media is going to pick up on and run with.
Even that distance, like, that sounds so much more manageable. Like, how are we that deprived if it's just 30 grams of fiber?
You would think, but we are, when you look at where we sit in Europe, we are the best fruit and veg eaters.
Yeah.
But still only 1 in 3 of us are eating our 5 a day. And some people eat no fruit and veg in a day, and some people just have a little bit of fruit juice. So I think one of the problems is that when people say, I know I need to eat more fruit and veg, they think it's about peeling and chopping. And I'm like, no, you don't have to peel and chop at all. You just need to heat up frozen veg.
Okay.
And it's to try and make sure that people are aware that frozen is just as good as fresh. And that, lean into it if you don't like prepping, if you don't like cooking, if you want it to be easy for you.
Just lash it in, boil it up and let's
go. Exactly.
I know. Text in here that says, hi, can you please ask, does Orla recommend the carnivore diet?
No.
Okay.
No. I we don't have enough time to go into that and how bad it is. It's so incredibly bad for you.
Okay.
And it's really taken off on Instagram and it's just ludicrous. It's one of those ludicrous diets you're like, how on earth do people think it's okay for you?
For someone like me who doesn't know what is it?
It's basically just eating meat.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you don't need fruit and veg. And that's just a myth. That is a huge myth. And I hope everyone listening knows it's a myth. So the most, like, half of every meal should be fruit and veg.
Okay.
So the carnivore diet is a really bad idea. And people around the world are actually dying from going on these ludicrous diets. So it's a definite no, 100% no. Also, I'm not even on the fence on this one.
Fair enough. You're straight
in. No splinters.
I'm also kind of wondering, like, if you're just on a carnivore diet, like, going to the toilet must be next to impossible.
Oh, it is. And when you went into a gastroenterologist waiting room, so a doctor that specializes in the gut, it used to be little old ladies. And now it's all these young men. And it's because of the obsession with protein, not getting enough fiber, okay. and then, of course, not breathing right when they're doing resistance training and lifting heavy weights. But there's a lot of people with gut issues these days.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is just not getting the basics right, such as fruit and veg.
Another text in here that says, "Hey, Laura, I tried to reach my protein goal of 130 grams a day as I strength train nearly 6 days a week. Yeah. I put protein powder in, I think this will say porridge for my breakfast, and I love it, but there is a stigma around using it as opposed to whole foods. Is it okay to use it, or should I be focusing more on whole foods for breakfast?"
No, that's absolutely fine. What I would change, though, is I would say do have whey protein after your workout, because you want that to be delivered to your muscles within 10 minutes.
Okay.
And if you're having it as part of your meal, it would slow down that delivery. So I would say whey protein directly after your workout, then make your porridge on milk, and then you'll be getting all the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals that porridge has to offer you.
Okay.
And it will be giving you a load of calcium, because calcium will go into your bones better if you've just done strength training.
Okay.
So she's not just strengthening her muscles, she's strengthening her bones too. So I just, but if she loves it in a porridge, I don't want to take it away from her, but preferably she'd take it in a drink first and then have her porridge.
Okay, fantastic. Or maybe, I mean, would there be an option if like that she loves it in like her overnight oats, that she can eat that within, no, because you're saying that the oats is going to slow down how you're going to get the protein into your muscles.
In a perfect world, if she really wants to maximize results, she would have it separately.
Okay, fantastic.
If she can have it as well in her overnight oats, that's fine, but have it separately in a drink first.
Amazing. Can you ask orders anything specific I should be doing diet wise as a perimenopausal woman on HRT? Should I take my protein?
Okay, yeah, that is a huge interest area of mine, as I sit here and sweat. But I would say, yes, protein is incredibly important. Strength training is incredibly important. But your gut microbiome does change with hormonal changes.
Okay.
So I would encourage her to focus not just on protein, but on fruit and veg, and make them the priority. So she looks at each meal and she goes, where's my protein? Where's my fruit or veg?
Okay.
And once she's got them in her meal, then she adds in her healthy fats and her whole grains. And you're just trying to do that breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Okay, fantastic. So you're looking at it the whole way across the day.
Yeah.
What are some of the common sources of high protein? We've spoken in depth before about like whole foods are the best source for everything, but what would, if someone's listening right now, would be their best source of good quality protein for their life?
Well, I would say a variety, and it's important to have a mixture between animal protein and plant proteins. Sorry, if you don't eat animal proteins, of course you can get everything you need from plant proteins, but I think most people would benefit from the addition of plant proteins into their life.
Okay.
When it comes to training, whey protein is the best at stimulating the muscles to grow and repair. If you don't consume whey, then the second best would be soya protein.
Okay.
But if you're having a protein shake as last thing at night before bed to preserve your muscle mass as you sleep, because you're really trying to gain muscle, or you're adding it into meals, I would actually use casein protein.
Okay.
The reason being is that it goes into your stomach, forms a gel, and takes ages to leave. So it's a slow release protein, a slow protein, and that will help keep you fuller for longer.
Okay.
And have a good satiety impact.
Okay. But then I suppose casein protein, you wouldn't be taking just like that girl who's just saying about like the morning time, because you would the whey protein be better to get in at that time?
Yes. So whey or soy protein after exercise,
yeah.
and then casein in meals or before bed.
Okay.
And you can get these things unflavored, because one thing that puts people off is the flavor of them, that they are overpowering. And I have to say, I've recently bought a load of unflavored and it has changed my life. It is so much nicer.
Isn't it so mad though? Because sometimes when you get a flavor, like let's say like I've got cookie flavor, like I get the ick with it so quick, then I'm like, get the gawks.
And the boxes and bottles and tubs are so big, you're like, I have another month of this manky stuff. I know. So that's why I've moved to unflavored, and I flavor it myself. Sometimes I'd add in cocoa or something. But yeah, absolutely, finding the one for you is important.
So vegetarians and vegans, as you said, like it's not necessary to have to get an animal protein in there. You can focus on your pea proteins and soy proteins.
And that comment from me was simply because most people aren't vegetarians and vegans, but it is a growing area. So it is important to know that you can get all your protein requirements from a vegetarian and vegan diet. It's easier from a vegetarian diet because you've got dairy and eggs. In a vegan diet, there's lots of protein sources, but I think people need to really understand it, because often people go, well, nuts and seeds are a protein source, Orla. And I'm thinking, well, a handful of nuts has less less protein than a slice of bread.
Okay.
So is it? So again, yes, you can, but you need to be mindful of where you're getting it. So I'll give you an example though. Baked beans, there's 10 grams of protein in the serving of that. And then if you have it with two slices of brown bread, there's another 8 grams. So you're nearly getting that 20 grams just from that.
Just from your beans on toast.
Yes. And you can always, again, if you are following a vegan lifestyle, put a bit of nutritional yeast on top of it. Bumps you up over the 20, perfect breakfast. Or make your overnight oats on soy milk and soy yogurt. Again, at least 20 grams.
Yeah.
Good to go. So there's lots that you can do. You just need to understand the portions and how much protein they actually give you.
And you can talk to a dietitian as well.
And you can talk to a registered dietitian like me, yeah.
Finally, Orla, because we could stay here all day talking about this, but like for anyone who's listening right now and thinking about, okay, maybe I need to increase my protein intake, what is the takeaway from all of this?
The main thing is to be mindful of breakfast and lunch. People nearly always get protein at dinner, but breakfast is so important because if you start to get protein at breakfast when you didn't before, you'll notice a huge impact on how your hunger throughout the day and maybe even what you're snacking on in the evening time. So we know that a high protein breakfast leads to reduced snacking of less healthy stuff after dinner. So again, you're going to notice a big impact when you do that. Most people don't get enough protein at breakfast, so focus there first.
It's your mood as well. It puts you in the best mood.
Well, no one likes being hungry.
No.
So if you manage your hunger, you manage your mood as far as I'm concerned and as far as my family feel about me, you know. I'm going to be honest.
Throwing yourself under the bus there.
A hangry person.
Orla, as always, thank you so much for coming in with us today. That has cleared up a lot of thoughts that I think we all have about protein and how much we should be having, and you've very much simplified it down for us. Like,
thank
you know,
you.
Maybe try adding it into every meal and then Bob's your uncle. That was registered dietitian Orla Walsh. We'll be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
podcast,
sponsored by Maxall. From kids lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.